Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and know what's looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Emma. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is so exciting. I feel like I've been interviewing people nonstop for the last couple of weeks, so it feels weird to be on the other side.
I know. It's a weird thing because you feel like you have to like go control somebody else's asking the questions, and you're like, gosh, like, what if I say something?
No, this will be fun. I'm excited. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, this is so exciting. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Emma. No, I'm Latinx, Mexican American. I'm born and raised in LA, which I know is a little weird because a lot of people flock to LA, but I love being a native here. And yeah, I've always been a reader for as long as I can remember. So that's just something that's always been a part of my life. And then a few years ago, I came across the Bookstagram community, and I feel like that just fueled, like it lit a fire to read even more and be exposed to so many different genres and people. And I've made some really, really good friends from that community. So I love it. And now it's just a huge part of who I am. And then recently I've launched a podcast called Latinx Like Me. And so that's been a really fun project that I've embarked on recently.
So let's talk about the podcast. What is the podcast all about?
So Latinx Like Me, it's, you know, something I've been thinking about for a couple of years, but really started with He Who Shall Not Be Named when he started running, and the, you know, first thing out of his mouth was an attack on Mexicans. And I'm like, what? Can I curse on here?
Yeah,
you can. Like, what the fuck? So, and then when, you know, just things have been getting really, really bad. And I've had a pretty complex relationship with my culture. I am, you know, very privileged. I'm very white passing. I'm, I guess, what they would call ethnically ambiguous. And so whenever someone would ask me, like, what are you? I would just, like, skirt the issue because I would lean into that whiteness, because for me it was wanting to fit in, and it was, you know, survival. Like, I don't need you discriminated against me. So I'm not going to tell you, like, if you can't guess, like, cause I don't look like you're, you know, quote unquote, stereotypical Mexican, you can't discriminate against me, and I'm not going to let you. So that, you know, that was a huge chunk of my life. And then as I got older, you know, I'm first generation here. And so my home life with my mom, you know, we spoke Spanglish or just Spanish. And so it was a very Mexican household, but then there was a lot of code switching for me, like with the outside world. And as I get older, I feel like I have, you know, I've grown closer to my culture. And part of that was, you know, especially recently, it's acknowledging that privilege that I've had. And it's also wanting to learn more. And like, how can I help, you know, fight, you know, colorism within our community and fight, you know, stereotypes and whatnot to against like the larger community just in America. And part of it, I think, is education. Like, I think we're so siloed that I think internally the Latinx community needs to learn a lot about itself. Like, I don't know anything about someone who grew up in Colombia. I don't know anything about the Dominican Republic. I'm learning more even about Mexican culture. So it's education, and it's stuff that we're obviously not exposed to in school. So I found that a really good way to do that was conversations. And so literally Latinx Like Me is just conversations with different Latinx people and learning from each other. And, you know, I share a little bit about me and vice versa. And I think it's been really fun. And I don't think it's just for Latinx people. I think a big part of, how Latinx people are portrayed in American media is we're treated like a monolith and we're not. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what I'm trying to dispel. It's like, we come in all shapes, sizes, colors, accents, and, you know, not everything is spicy food. Like, not everyone has spicy food. Some people have cheese in their chocolate. I learned this morning. I was like, what? So that's basically it. It's somewhat selfishly me trying to learn more about, you know, my community and even my culture, because even two Mexican Americans can have a very, very different experience depending on where they grew up and the family dynamics. And yeah, and then hopefully shedding a bit of light on our community and showing the world that we are more diverse than what is portrayed in the media.
Yes, I agree. I am Puerto Rican, but I'm from Puerto Rico, from the island. Mm-hmm. And I moved to the States when I went to college, and I've been here for about 20 years. So I've been more time in the States than Puerto Rico, but my family still lives there. So my experience is very different from when I live in New York. I had a lot of friends who are Dominican or Puerto Rican who grew up in New York, and their experience is very different from my experience. Like, we had things in common, but we were like, oh, this is different. You know, we didn't have some stuff. We were like not similar to childhood. And so, you know, it's interesting to have conversations and talk about like different experiences. And, you know, for me, I found books to be finding Latinx books that are reflected in different stories. It's like, it's fascinating, because I think people assume that every Latina person is the same. They're like spicy food, they're caliente, they're all like, you know, loud, and it's like, but not everyone's the same. Like, I don't like spicy food. I grew up without spicy food, and that's not, you know, that was not my experience. And I think that's like, I think it's great that you're having a place to have conversations and the education in that place for us to get to connect with one another and for others to understand how diverse the community really is.
Yeah.
So, awesome. So what do you hope listeners to get from listening to the show?
I think just that, just more information and just broadening their, you know, their previous understanding of our community as a whole. So I think so that for me is the main goal, just for anyone who listens to it, but specifically for other Latinx people. Like, I think it'd be great if someone were like, oh, I felt like my experience was like a super weird one because I don't speak Spanish. But then for them to hear someone else, Latinx, who was raised also not speaking Spanish, and then being like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one. Like, fostering that sense of community and the acknowledgement that their story that they might think is super weird, like, someone else can actually relate to it. I think that was super important to me too.
I love this. I've seen some people have resonated with your episodes, and I love the fact that more and more people who resonate and get to know more about the culture, about the diversity, about, you know, how wonderful the Latinx people are. So thank you for doing the service.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm having a great time doing it. And again, I'm learning so much, and it's really nice to see messages that come in that like, oh, I could totally relate to this episode. And I was like, yay.
That's amazing. So now let's chat book recommendations, and primarily romance, because you read some romance, but if you have other recommendations, that's really cool. So in terms of romance, what is your favorite romance book?
You know, I have like a weird relationship with tropes, in that it's a newer thing to me, and I don't think I'd ever pick a book based on a trope. I will 100% admit to judging books by their covers and then reading the back. And then if that sounds interesting, then I'll take it. But I don't even think I know all the tropes, but I guess when I'm thinking of some of my favorite books, I mean, I feel like they've been all over the place, honestly. There's like The Hating Game, and I think that was Enemies to Lovers. There's Zenny by Rebecca Weatherspoon, and I think that was like a forced marriage, so I think that's like forced
proximity, marriage to convenience.
Yeah. And I literally think those are the only tropes that I know.
That's okay. That sounds good. So which author is on your autobi, which then that you think we should check your backlist?
Rebecca Weatherspoon, 100%. I'm very lucky to call her a friend. We actually met at The Ripped Bodice, which is the romance bookstore here in LA. And I love the owners. Like, they're super nice and they've given me some great book recommendations. Actually, Leah was the one that recommended The Hating Game when I was like, I think I'm ready to read romance. And she was like, try this one. And I like read it in one sitting and I was like, this was amazing. What else? And then Rebecca, I love her, her Sugar Baby series. Mm-hmm. I love that one. There are like three novellas, which are super great, really fast reads. I love her recent series that she's putting out right now. It's the Cowboys of California series. So the first one is A Cowboy to Remember. And then the one that I think is coming out next month is If the Boot Fits. And I love that series so much. And honestly, I think I've read almost all of her books. So she's an auto buy for me, like 100%.
I love this. Yeah. Rebecca is on my TBR, so I have like 5 of her books, and I've yet to pick up. So I think thanks to you, I'm like, I need to pick up. Her race is really good in the mailbox.
Yeah.
I live for Force Proximity Merch Convenience, so I like my favorite quotes, so I know those are going
to
be.
Zenny's great. I learned, so some of her, I tend to steer more towards the steamy.
Yeah.
Oh man, if there is no sex in the book, it is just not for me. Like, I don't care how cute it is. I just can't. So yeah, I love Rebecca's books. And I feel like the first one in the California, Cowboys of California series was a little bit more tame for her, but like Rafe is a great one. Zenny is definitely more steamy. I love Zenny. Like, I would, if you like steamy, I would recommend starting with Zenny.
That sounds good.
And that's a standalone.
Awesome. So let's talk about Mad Max authors. What are some of your go-to authors within the Mad Max?
You know, it's only until recently that I've been reading Latinx authors, to be quite frank, in romance. And I made it a point to specifically, you know, because it's nice to be able to see yourself in books and be able to relate to some things. So I read You Had Me at Hola by Alexis Daria. That one was great. It was my first time reading something from her. I really loved The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa. That one was hilarious. I was not expecting it to be that funny, but I don't know why. Like, I expected it to be a rom-com, but I was literally like laughing out loud. So that was a great one. And I learned a lot there because they're not Mexican. So I was like, oh, what is this? It's usually the food that gets me. I was like, what is this you're talking about? It sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. So that was a great one. I'm trying to think. Oh, Adriana Herrera, she has the, I don't know what the series is called, but the first one is American Dreamer.
The Dreamers.
Yeah, that one, that's a good one too. So there's still so many other people. Like, I want to read Priscilla Oliveras. I haven't read anything by her. I know she's written tons. So she's on my list. I actually think I have one of her books.
I think Livia Sandres, if you read historicals, she has a good historical women's series. And then Yafa Santos has A Taste of Sage that came out this summer. It's a restaurant foodie book. So there's a couple others. So. But I'm on the lookout for Latinx authors. I'm like just trying to add to the repertoire because I feel like there's something to be said about like learning about different cultures. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So what are some of your 5-star reads?
Ooh. It's so funny. I literally just deleted my Goodreads and I was like, oh, I should have taken a screen grab of what I've read this year because I don't remember. But I feel like I think A Cowboy to Remember was a 5-star for me. Like, I really loved it. What was it? Royal Holiday. Mm-hmm. I just loved it by Jasmine Guillory. That I was a big fan of that. I don't know if this one counts as a romance, but The Idea of You by Robin Lee. Okay. That was a 5-star. I love that one. I actually just got it back from my neighbor. I was like, you have to read this. And she was like, this was great. I was like, I know. The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary. I love that one. I won a giveaway for an ARC and I read it when I was on my way to Scotland, and I was like, this is so perfect because I'm going to the UK. And it was so sweet, so sweet. And I loved how they were like getting to know each other via notes. And I thought like that one was, it was a really sweet one. And I loved it a lot. That was a 5-star for sure.
That's really cute. Yeah. I really liked the 5-star. Like that was a cute one. I've not read The Switch. It's on my, I got an ARC for it, but I'm like, I haven't taken time to read ARCs. So
yeah, it's literally on my shelf. I can see it right now. And I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Okay. So you're a fan in pick a subgenre. What has been a book that you read this past year that you love? Like either rom-com, contemporary, small town, cowboy, paranormal, etc., etc.
So I mean, for cowboy, definitely the second one in the Cowboys of California series. It's called If the Boot Fits. Love that one. And actually, cowboys are new to me, and I didn't realize how much I'd like them. But I was like, oh, okay, this could be opening a new door for me. So that was definitely a favorite. I think I devoured the entire Reluctant Royal series from Alyssa Cole. Mm-hmm. Like I read the whole thing, the novellas and everything, and I loved it. I'm a sucker for like royal stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was, I was a big fan of that. And then I love Annie Raines, her mm-hmm. Sweetwater Spring series. I'm a huge fan of. I started reading them last year. Like I want to say it was around Christmas, and I, because the first one is like Christmas on Mistletoe Lane was the first one in that series, and I was just like, I'm obsessed. And I was like bugging Estelle. I was like, when's the next one coming out? Like I need more. So those are some of my favorites. Like just those series are the whole thing. I'll just devour.
I love this. What has been a book that you have read this past year that you cannot stop gushing about?
It's so hard because for me it like depends on the person. Mm-hmm. Because like not everyone I know reads romance. I feel like I will always try to get someone to read something by Tiffany Rice.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. I just read her Halloween books.
I love her. I feel like it's not even a recent book. I read this a couple years ago. It's The Bourbon Thief.
Yeah.
So good. It's one of my favorites by her. I also love The Red and The Rose. And I think there's another one in that series coming out soon. But I like that for me is like when I know someone's a romance reader and I'm like trying to push them out of their comfort zone. I'm like, just give this a try. Like The Bourbon Thief is a gothic mm-hmm. Southern Gothic, I think is what it's classified as. And I was like obsessed. Yeah. And it's, oh, I love her books. That's one that I'll always try to push people out of their comfort zone. I'm like, just give it a shot. Like, yes, it's super steamy. But just like try it. It's great. And the writing's great. Like I just get lost in her books. I think they're fantastic. So, but definitely The Bourbon Thief is one that I always, try to push people. And Zenny is also another one that I'm like, yeah, like try this one.
Okay. So tell us where we can find you online.
I am on Bookstagram at bookish.em. And then of course, Latinx Like Me on Instagram, Latinx Like Me podcast, the website where you can see all the episodes, of course, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But I'm super active on Bookstagram. So if anyone wants to chat books or has book recommendations for me, definitely hit me up there. I'm always down to chat to people.
Awesome. Thank you, Emma, for being in the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new.
please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.